It's on the way. Plenty of leg. Good!
It's football time in the Bluegrass. You're listening to the KSR Football Podcast.
Welcome in, or welcome back to the KSR Football Podcast. Nick Roush, Drew Franklin, Charles Walker, and Austin McGinnis ready to roll for the 2019 season. And we're starting off in an unusual location.
We're starting off a little rough, too.
No, yeah, this is another bar that's at a bowling alley. We are at the
It's the Collins Bowling Alley.
Yeah, it's not Southland Bowling, but it's on Southland.
Yeah.
And we're podcasting before we do a little bowling at in the KSR Bowling League.
Before the Cats do a little bowling this year.
Oh, I see what you did there, Chucky. I see what you did there. It's good to be back, fellas. I haven't seen y'all in a while.
It's been a while. I can't believe, like, Media Day's Friday, and the season camp starts Friday for the team.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I feel like we're just getting going with summer. Like, when are we going to the lake? Is it June yet?
Yeah, when does school start? Is that
soon?
Yeah. Ooh, the Indiana, like, the Southern Indiana schools have already started.
Whoa.
Which that doesn't
is
sound like
insane.
Fun.
Yeah, that year-round school stuff doesn't sound like a good idea. But we're back. We're going to be talking Kentucky football. Obviously, we're not going to get in the weeds today because football hasn't technically started yet, but talking season has, and there's plenty to talk about. But first, be remiss if we didn't give a salute to our fallen soldier, Gerald Lorenzen, a former podcaster who is in a much better place now, and we had to say goodbye to him, I don't know, what, a month or two ago, and that, frankly, it sucked, Drew.
Definitely did. Austin and Charles are great on this podcast. We love having them. But Jared was one of the originals,
yes.
As was Freddie.
Oh, geez.
He's also going through things right now. Freddie, yep. As everyone knows, stepped down from his job. He's mm-hmm. doing okay. Nothing severe. But both those guys.
It was a rough week.
Miss Jared. Yeah. Freddie, hope he gets things figured out. But, yeah, you're right. First one we've done since Jared. That just crossed my mind.
So, yeah. So, we'll probably talk about, which, by the way, I really, like, I want to show him that Apollo 11 documentary and just be like, oh, so was the moon landing fake, Jared? And he probably would say, well, can you really believe that this is real footage? Because I was watching it the whole time. It's like, there's no way this stuff
there
was
no convincing him on the moon landing.
Well, I don't believe in the moon landing either.
Perfect.
So.
You're taking that was
oh, there you go.
That was Jared's main mission.
I just
in
don't
life
believe. I believe we would still be going there if we could go there so easily. If we could go there 50, 40 years ago, whatever, then we would still be going there. We wouldn't just break up NASA and start going private with rockets.
I'm about to cry. You're like a vessel with Jared speaking down
exactly
through to the podcast, continuing
to be here.
His message.
The UK record breaker who doesn't believe in the moon landing.
And Jared, I stand.
It's a constant. It's a constant that we got to have on this podcast. And we're glad that you all are listening, and we're glad that you all are fueling our podcast because Drew put out the ask for some questions. And folks,
I got some good ones.
We got some doozies, and one of them, I'm saving one best for last because it might be the best question that's ever been asked in the history of the KSR Football Podcast.
Oh, man, that's...
But first, hey, football season started. Media Day and Fan Day. Media Day's Friday. Drew and I will be out there with a bunch of KSR folks talking to people. Austin, did you love or hate Media Day?
Media Day wasn't my favorite because it's also like picture day.
Yeah, it's always hot.
It's hot, and you're just out there for a little too long. And then, you know, as a kicker, you don't know if anyone's even going to talk to you, so you just have to wait out there and watch everyone else get talked to, and it's like, you know, not my favorite day.
Did many people talk to you? Did you ever get a crowd? I mean, you're the best kicker to ever be there. I would think you'd get some.
I know, but they're looking for something juicy and stuff. But I wasn't bringing that juice back then. Yeah, I was just laying low doing my job. But I like Fan Day more than Media Day, I think.
So, like,
no offense to the media.
Yeah, though. You like fans more than media is what you're saying?
Oh, wow.
Well, they're like super fans, but they're like a little too involved. You know?
I think Media Day is whenever that's probably when Charles first learned that Drew was – Wait, that
I was pushing the Heisman campaign.
Yes, I'm pretty sure that's where that all started, was at a media day.
Still can't believe it didn't work out, honestly.
Really?
I mean, I did my part.
I stay up every night. I stay up every night thinking about it.
So what's like the dumbest question you ever got at a media day?
Probably me asking him how many touchdowns he's going to have.
The media day wasn't too bad because it was, you know, preseason, and they asked about injuries and stuff, which you're not supposed to say, things like that. The worst questions are like after a game. Like, when you lost, how did that feel? How did you think it felt?
Like, I just want to shower and go out.
How do you feel
out
right now? I feel like I don't want to be talking to you asking dumb questions. And then you answer one person's, and then the different media person asks almost like a similar question.
Yeah.
How do you feel right now? How do you think the team feels? Oh, well, we just lost in the last second, so no one feels very good. Thank you.
That Florida game, yeah.
That one really comes to mind.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how players do it with the same question over and over, because as media, you know, we're rotating and we're just all on different rhythm who we're getting to. It's the same questions. I would be like, hey, can you all just get together and share what I just told that guy? Just combine it into your stories.
And even in like big journalism school, they tell you to like find ways to rephrase it. If you don't get the question you want, you can ask it in a different way.
That's the worst too.
But like, and that's the kind of stuff we would have to do with people like DJ Elliott, who just like refuse to like say anything. Now, the coaches now, they'll talk all you want. And, like, most of the players, y'all are just having fun with it. Like, at SEC Media Days, Logan Stenberg, I wasn't just like, talk trash to me, Logan. But, you kind of like, so what's your strategy? And he was like, so what you do is you can't talk trash right away because then you could just get embarrassed. What you do is you try to find out where they suck and then really just hammer it home. And the best part was that he was willing to admit, like, yeah, I think it makes me better, but, there's the penalty thing that I got to – still haven't quite figured out how to walk that line.
Yeah, he does love doing that, doesn't he?
Which I'm a big fan of, you know. Just keep chirping, Logan. Keep chirping.
Not the penalties, the chirping.
Yes.
You mentioned injuries are off limit. Are you all allowed to pull back the curtain of what UK says going into media day? Because I'm sure they give you some guidelines.
Yeah, like, as in, for instance
– like, right before D-Rob they send you right out now to meet with everybody – is there like, all right, guys, we do not guarantee wins,
God,
and we do not.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think Benny did that one year, didn't he? Did Benny guarantee
a couple
Benny
wins? Yeah, Benny did that all the time.
Yeah, he.
I don't think Benny listened during those team meetings.
He said he was the best running back in the SEC. I do remember that.
That was on media. That was on SEC media.
Yes,
wasn't it?
Yes, and that was right after they were like, somebody was like, oh, so some people think you're not the best running back in the SEC, and he gave some long answer. I was like, so do you think you're the best running back in the SEC? I am the best running back in the SEC.
Although he said Benny Snell is the best running back.
Yes. Yeah.
Which I saw he's still talking in third person up in Pittsburgh.
It's great.
Where he's now at the bottom of the roster trying to make a name for himself. He's still talking in third
person.
Well,
it's name recognition, you know, name repetition. You got to get your name out there. That's what he's doing.
He's the same person through and through, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But do they give you any warnings at media day? Like, all right, KSR guys are going to try to trap you. They're goofballs. Just ignore them.
They just want us to, like, echo the message of the coach. So you just try to say what – because Coach Stoops has been talking to you after practice and stuff, and so there's a certain message that's being relayed, and you just take a couple of tidbits from that message, and that's what they want you to say.
Put your, like, spin on it.
Yeah, they don't want – you know, you got, you know, Mr. Tony Neely. He doesn't want you guaranteeing 12-0, and Slack, she doesn't like it either. But they give a little leeway. These are young guys, and it's more fun, anyways.
Yeah.
It's more fun when like there's some controversy. It's more interesting.
You want to
good
be
sells
confident.
Tickets. Yeah. You want to be confident.
And
as
that's
long as
kind
working
of
hard.
Like what they've done this year. Their message is like, we're building a program. It wasn't just one year. We're going to keep moving forward, which is a pretty good message, if I do say so myself. Even though it's like, all right, guys, we did lose Josh, though. He was pretty good.
He's all right.
Yeah. It's going to be Tom Leach opened his luncheon today where he was like, Mark, I don't know if you know this or not, but you're not going to have Benny Snell or Josh Allen this year.
Oh, look at Tom with the joke.
Tom Leach throwing in some jokes, and Stoops just looked at him like.
I was about to say, I don't know if that was a great time.
Yeah, Stoops probably just rolled his eyes at that one.
Stoops, though, he's lighting up. He has a little bit.
Am I wrong? And even though Josh is gone, I'm really excited about the linebackers.
Yes. I mean, no, you're not wrong.
So here's
– like, I don't expect a second Josh Allen to just run on the field. But
no.
I think they're going to be very good.
Are you excited that Josh Pascal is going to be a linebacker now?
Absolutely. And I'm also excited that he's this close to hopefully beating cancer.
Yeah. It sucks he has to get one more because that'll drain him for a few days. But
one more is better than two more.
Exactly. One more treatment and he's done. But Does it worry you at all, Chuck, that they were like, okay, Josh, you were great at Jack in a sparing role. Now we're going to put you at defensive end. Okay, now you're going to go back to Jack. Does that worry you at all?
I feel like, especially because, you know, he didn't have the whole year off last year, but he was not playing that much, not practicing that much. So he probably learned the defense in and out.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure they told him, hey, when you come back, obviously we're losing Josh. You're going to be playing maybe anything. Yeah. So it doesn't really worry me. Now you take reps at it. You have all fall camp, and it's really all you need.
And the more positions you play and the more you do, the more you know. So it just makes you a better athlete, too.
The more you know, the better you feel. So let's have beans for every meal.
Something like that.
Something like that.
They always taught us in the receiver room to try to learn, like, everyone's job, because then you actually understand how the offense works, not just what route you have.
Right.
So I feel like it's definitely the same with defense, probably even a bigger part on the defensive side.
Especially at that position where you're either rushing or you're dropping back in coverage.
Yeah. So knowing where your other guys are, all right, if I'm going to miss, I'm going to miss the sideline because that's where – the corner is going to be, et cetera. So I bet he's got it unlocked.
The from a – I'm just going to analyze this to its core. One, it tells me, like, they don't need – like, I think part of the reason why they were going to make that move last year, they were worried about defensive ends.
Yeah.
But Phil Hoskins, Calvin Taylor, TJ Carter, those dudes really played well last year. I don't think they're worried about that position. I do think they're worried about the Jack linebacker spot because Brad White did a lot of complaining in the spring about him. Jordan Wright came out and played his best game, but he was beating them to death in practices. And it also is like, well, does this mean they don't think Xavier Peters is going to be in time? Or is it just they're doing this as a just-in-case? Because if y'all saw the Meet Your New Wildcats, they had Xavier Peters interviewed, and he had on a cutoff.
He did.
And he looked enormous. And like,
it actually had sleeves enormous when he started the interview.
And yeah, and it just Hulk, incredible Hulk, yeah.
Is he eligible for this year?
Well, that's what we're waiting on.
Waiting.
Because he needs a waiver. And
that's, the infamous waiver.
Yes.
The NCAA always does the right thing, so I'm sure it'll work out.
It always works for the quarterbacks who were five-star recruits and are going to Georgia and Miami and Ohio State. Yeah, it's great for them. But for guys who are, you know, going from to Kentucky or Cincinnati, like the James Hudson kid, they're like, oh, no, buddy, wait your turn. So we don't know anything more on Peters, and Stoops didn't have an update today either. So I know that's the big question on everybody's mind because a dude could be a stud.
He is huge.
He's so big. And last year,
is he a freshman?
He redshirt. He didn't play in more than four games, so he could count as a redshirt.
So he could be a redshirt?
Yes. Yeah.
That's a big deal. What are they doing? We just went off on linebackers. I know you had a game plan, but
it's okay.
Don't Oates and Square, I love them both. Are they the same position? What do they do there? What happens?
Yes, that's going to be fun to see at the open practice to see who they roll with first because Oates is going to be playing next to Square next year whenever Cash is gone. But right now it's like, do you play Square right away and just let him take over and then kind of rotate him with Oates there? Or do you just let Oates run free?
I think it depends on what team you're playing.
Maybe so.
If you're going to be playing more coverage, I think you do Square. And if you're going to be stopping the run, do Oates.
Ooh. I like where your head's at, where you kind
That'd
of alternate who gets more reps. I like your head's at, Chuck. See?
I mean, those boys, those two seem like they're boys, so I don't think they really care.
Yeah.
You know, if you get seven starts and I get five, whatever.
It's also weird how they keep track of that, like the actual starts count. Because, like, did you register starts or did they give them to somebody else?
I don't know if I technically did because even when I was the starting Y in 10, CJ was probably the starting Y in 11. So I guess it depended on what
your first
formation
play was.
The first play was. Yeah, I guess.
That's so arbitrary.
I don't know.
And like, I think it was one of the offensive linemen. It was either Landon or – I think it was Landon. They only gave him like half the starts going into last year. I was like, dude, he was their starting – like it's weird how they keep track of that stats. One person wanted to ask, Lynn Bowden, he going to return punts this year?
I saw that question, and immediately I was like, hell yeah. Sorry, heck yeah. Then the ending was, we need him to be healthy. So I guess that does come into play.
But
I think it depends on who's returning kicks. Because if he's returning kicks, I don't think he'd be doing both.
We
Why
don't
not?
Have the luxury not to put him back there on punts. Like we're
he's
not, we have not, we have not made it like that. Where we can just be like, all right, Lynn, you're not on punts. Like he's
I think it'll be
kind of
like he'll return more than he did last year, but field position will play into that. I don't think he's going to be heels on the 10.
What's the difference between – okay, that's a good point. What's the difference between –
Field position and how he feels on the inside. Yeah, I mean, it's all about how Lynn feels on the inside. If Lynn wants that punt return, he's going out there.
Yeah,
he doesn't need a coach to let him know he's going out there.
It worked pretty well last year.
So there might be a punt return next year where he just runs out and tells whoever was there, move.
Like get out of the way. Okay.
You know, no one approved this. I'm just feeling it.
The glass breaks and all of a sudden, oh, no, it's Lynn.
Lynn's the only person that can drop a punt, and I still think he's going to score on that play.
Yeah, it really is. What is the difference, Chuck? Because you obviously did both. What's the difference between kicks and punts returning them?
Well, kicks you have don't have 100 people in your face, or sorry, 11, 10 people in your face right when you catch it. On most punts, there's probably someone. Most kicks, like I said, you have, 10 to 15 yards to, one, gain speed, two, actually know where you're going. I mean, that's the biggest difference. Punts hang higher, and they're closer, so it's just more commotion at the – I guess point of impact, if you want to call it.
You're not
going
to fair catch a kickoff, but you have to think about punt, what you're going to do. You have to take your eyes off the ball to see where the guys are at and then look back up at it.
That's a big part, too.
Did you, they talk about injuries. Did you take big licks punting? Because I feel like if you were.
You took one to the house.
Right.
That looked tiring. You ran a long way.
Was a long way.
Man, I got out of breath just watching it.
I don't think you really – I mean,
if you
don't fair catch it, you can definitely get rocked.
Right, but all right, that would be my one injury concern is that Lynn would be too proud to fair catch.
Yeah, I was never too proud of fair catch. Still get made fun of to this day. So
for fair catching too
much? Half the time, it was literally the coach saying, hey, no one's blocking for you, so if you don't fair catch, you are going to die. And then
it's here.
Of course, that time there's – maybe 5 yards in between me and the first guy, and I fair catch. And they're like, why'd you do that? Well, because there were 6 guys behind him, and I had 0 guys blocking for me. So I could have maybe got 5 yards and then just gotten murdered.
I have a family. That's why. Yeah.
Protect the moneymaker. We don't have a David Bouvier or a Charles Walker this year. Who's going to be our sure-handed inside wide receiver?
Yeah, there you go.
Slush. We got Slush.
Yeah, we do have Slusher.
Slush is going to eat on special teams, though.
So of all the slots, I know you – I mean, obviously Lynn is going to get a lot of play, but when they do go 10, I know they don't like to split out tight ends. So
I bet it'd be Cleavan Thomas.
Cleavan? Okay. Yeah. He got a lot of hype when he came in as early enrollee, and then last year they were just like, we're going to just keep that red shirt on you. We're going to use that red shirt rule. So he's in that group of, dudes who got to prove something or else somebody else is going to step up. Because I know Akeem Hayes, he's the littlest. He's tiny. He's so tiny. But they've said good things about him. Our boy Alan Daly, Bryce Oliver, those are all guys who are like, hey, Epps and Ali, if you don't get it together, these guys are ready to roll.
Speaking of those two, you see the UK picture of them?
Was Ali the other one?
They've been working out.
I meant to text
you. Oh, my God. Yeah. Why didn't you ask Charles?
That's true. Nick and I couldn't figure out who that was.
Yeah.
Because we knew that it was.
That was Josh. We knew it was Isaiah.
Goodness gracious. He looks like a linebacker.
Lamar Thomas responded to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If y'all look like that. I saw he tweeted that from Lexington. He's still hanging around?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's still living here, just golfing and. Doing Lamar Thomas stuff.
Yeah, I heard he's real good at, Madden and stuff.
There are worse lives than being Lamar Thomas, I would say.
His son's probably going to be
senior at Tate's Creek, I think.
Yeah, he's probably going to be, Western Kentucky MAC recruit-ish, that kind of level.
I think Cincy offered him.
Yeah, I can see up to Cincy,
I think
he was on Utah's AAF team, and so I saw him when we played in Utah.
Lamar, yeah. LT was?
Yeah. He's coaching.
Nice. I was hitting some deep kicks because, the altitude, you can just crush a ball. And he's like, it's good. We beat Florida. He just walked by.
Oh.
It was such an LT thing to say. It was hilarious.
He's the funniest guy in the world, I think.
Oh, man.
His timing's impeccable.
That's one thing Stoops needs to work on. He has jokes going in the right direction, but since he's the big guy, he doesn't really need to have the best
punchlines.
He doesn't
know how to tell a joke. People are going to laugh anyway. It's that coach.
Exactly. He
gets awkward when he tells jokes.
He tried to do that today with Lynn's punt return. Oh, yeah. That quarterback armchair coaches, I was the one who put him in Missouri. I knew what I was doing.
He did that classic Stoops laugh. Oh, yeah. He kind of he tries to laugh before he – finishes a joke, but then people are like, do we laugh now? And then he stops, and then you're like, okay.
So he's got to work on his timing.
Yes.
Maybe like Terry Wilson, who that's what he's working on this offseason.
40 passes a game.
You don't have to work on your segues.
Oh, yeah exactly. Which Quinn's impeccable. Question was, what would be is the offense more successful if Terry throws it 40 times or 15, or if he runs it 15 times a game?
Why can't he do both?
Oh.
Hopefully. Well, that either means the other offense is scoring a lot or our defense has three and outs all the time. I think it goes down to who you play again.
So, do you all – what do you all – do you all think Darren Henshaw was just like blowing smoke, or do you think he's being for real?
About what?
Throwing it 35 to 40 times a game.
I think we've heard the air raid offense a couple hundred times, and then the season comes and it's not an air raid offense.
Well, it's because they don't have the siren anymore. If we had the siren, it's going to be the air raid.
You might be right.
Actually, so, do they still
hashtag bring back the siren.
Did they still do it, or did they
take
it away?
I don't think so. Not when I was there.
It's got to be there. Somewhere.
Yeah. It really died out when Benny Snell came on the campus.
Benny Snell killed the air raid.
He did. I think so.
Did Henshaw, though, would he tell, like, in the room, would he say stuff like that, like, or Grant, like, hey, we're going to – this is the – like, before Drew came in, and that first half, I think he did throw it, like, 25 times. Was that kind of the – hey, this is kind of how things are going to go all year? Was that how you all would kind of prep for that?
I think with Terry, it's just completely different because he does have the legs. And with Drew, he could run, but it wasn't Terry running.
Small, yeah.
Yeah, so.
I like to think that his 35 attempts a game is like they're calling 35 passes, but he's running like 8 of them himself. And
I'd like that.
Our friend Adam Luckett believes that they might be just like, oh, we're going to run more tempo, which Stoops – doesn't like tempo.
That won't last long.
Mm-mm. He doesn't like when his defense is sore and tired and we have a three and out and then another three and out.
On the other hand, it also, like you said, Chuck, it might be who they're playing and playing behind the eight ball, because I think only like Kentucky only played without a lead for like a couple quarters last year.
Yeah.
You know, and that was A&M in Missouri. Most of the time in Georgia, like most of the time they're playing with the lead, so you didn't have to throw it a lot.
Well, I'll tell you one thing is I was standing by Terry the other day, and he's big. He's gotten big. Like a whole off season being in the same spot has done him well. So I think he'll be able to take some kind of punishment.
Oh, nice. We can so get.
He'll be durable at least when he does run because he's stout.
Because I think with you had AJ, who's really explosive on the outside. You got a lot of dudes who can bust big plays in the backfield.
I don't think we're going to miss Benny that much. I really don't. I know he's the all-time leading rusher, UK. He was great, but I think we got a stable backs and we'll be fine.
I'm not worried
about that. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm worried about the secondary.
I've said before, you lose maybe the best linebacker ever and the best running back ever, and I'm excited about the linebackers and running backs.
Yeah. And it's really back to what has typically been the question mark for most fans, no offense, Chuck, receivers and corners.
He can't take offense to that.
Yeah.
He's long gone.
Yeah.
He wears fancy pants now. Shirt's tucked in.
Khaki pants are fancy.
All right. Another question that Clint asked that I think is pretty good. Who is the number two wide receiver besides Lynn Bowden? And I think there is a right answer for this, but I just wonder who's the other right answer.
All right. Am I picking off of past or who I think this year will be the go-to?
This year, the number two guy getting touches behind Lynn Bowden.
I'm going to go with Ali.
I think Ali is the...
Ali is what I was going to say.
But then again, if Isaiah can stretch the field and is the fastest receiver. So if he can get off the line and stretch the field and finish his unbelievable releases, we might have... You know, 8 touchdowns, 8 80-yard touchdowns.
But that 2.0.
Maybe.
What's the word on Wagner? Can we keep running that pass interference play? It is unstoppable.
Yeah, let's keep doing that.
You think
that
it's just the signal's just this?
Just grab out of your belt and throw. Yeah. They need to.
He is a big human being at wide receiver.
He's so – I mean, like, he played forward in the Big Ten. Like, it's not like he was just in, like, the American or something, or, like, the Big East.
Coming
like,
off the bench as a little guard.
He was – he's huge. He is a massive human being.
Nothing would make me happier than if he was the second best receiver, because he'd just be like Gronkowski out there.
Yep.
And I would just feel so dominant when I yell.
Yeah. I might
take
my answer back.
Like,
I might say Justin Rigg.
Yeah, I was thinking Jay Riggs.
Riggs.
I might switch my answer to that.
Really? So you're as confident as the big dog in Riggs?
He's a freak.
Riggs has been a stud for a while.
You saw his one-handed catch over the middle in the spring game?
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
And he blocks.
He's huge.
But
he's 6'6".
I'm just so hesitant to ever, like –
Keaton Upshaw's huge. Our tight ends are huge.
Dude, Keaton Upshaw.
Brendan Bates, the new guy.
Bates is big. That's a molar boy. Dude, you know he's tough.
Big Nick is huge, too. Vince isn't even going to try to say his last name. Ogenovic?
Oh, that dude looks huge. He looks like a –
He's just already resigned the fact. He's like, he's just Big Nick. He's just Big Nick the whole time. But I don't know, like that's the one that I – the tight ends are enormous targets, but, like, I'm not – they were going to start passing more to CJ, like, 3 years ago. And I don't want to get fans worked up on that.
CJ, anymore. Who's blowing up with the Giants right now, and I read a story yesterday where they're like predicting he's going to be the starter in a year.
Yeah, because the Evan Engram guy can't stay healthy.
We couldn't throw to him.
Yeah,
Evan Engram was sick at Ole Miss. He was.
Was
good.
He on that team with Metcalf and all of them that came
that
to college?
He was Swag
fair.
Kelly. He was.
Oh,
Swag
he's older. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
He wasn't.
Because that team that had DK Metcalf and Van Jefferson, like. I felt so bad when Metcalf was going through the combine stuff, and they kept showing that catch he had on Lonnie, and it's like Lonnie's playing perfect defense.
Yeah. Oh my gosh!
And Metcalf is just doing DK Metcalf.
Like, I don't even know if I was mad. Like, that was the play that they scored and went up, right?
Yeah.
I don't even know if I was mad. I didn't even know what happened. Like,
it's just like
I was just like respect. Okay.
You're like, man, I gotta get a picture with that guy after the game.
Yeah, that's like, you know, you're playing 500 in the pool and that guy just happened to come down with it.
Yeah.
How funny is it that Rich Rod is now the OC at Ole Miss? Did anybody know that? Because it completely went under the radar.
I think this is breaking news to me.
Yeah, Rich Rodriguez, Ole Miss offensive coordinator. They snuck it under the rug. Cause
why don't they just make him the head coach?
I don't know. They probably will. They'll probably fire that guy and just be like, all right, Rich Rod, you can take over, even though we fired a guy for the same stuff that you got fired for in Arizona.
No, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, pretty wild. Okay, Shane wants to know. Shane Frederick said, which game will be the closest game Kentucky will play this season?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
I'm going to say Missouri, just randomly, because they got Kelly Bryant. I feel like we always kind of play Missouri close.
It's also right after the bye week, so you might not be wrong.
I don't know.
The bye week lullaby. I mean, you know how it is.
You
kind of have that week off, and everyone's getting healthy, but then, I mean, have we ever come out after a bye week and have been killing it from day one or from play one?
Vanderbilt last year? I don't think so.
You're always going to be a slow start because your body gets rest, and then it's got to go right back to war again. So, like, if you're not on your P's and Q's coming out of bye week, that's a tough opponent.
We have two bye weeks this year.
Yeah. That's
what's the other one?
The other one.
Is it Louisville or
I think it's
Tennessee
it's between South Carolina and Arkansas, so the game before Arkansas.
Yeah.
I don't know the date. That's the other one.
Why is
that?
Yeah,
it's first weekend in November because it's Breeders' Cup weekend. And
that's between Georgia and Mizzou,
I think.
Yeah, that's the second one. There's one between South Carolina and Arkansas.
Yes,
first
yes.
weekend of October.
Yes. So we got nice little breaks. Which
has
we,
that
I'm
ever happened before?
To.
Wait. Oh,
I
you're
can't
right.
remember it.
We do.
The calendar.
That seems like a competitive advantage.
The calendar
does everyone
year
everyone have it?
Weird.
No,
that,
it
does
happens.
Does everyone have that?
I think
everybody does.
I guess.
Because they're starting on August 31st, so –
What?
It's something with the calendar. There's two bye weeks.
Oh, everybody gets
a leap year.
I thought we had like rewarded for a good season.
Well,
like,
yeah,
here you go.
So
here's an extra bye week.
You win 10 games, you get an extra bye week.
Which, now that we're on the schedule, there's some fun questions. And this one is the
October 5th.
This one prefaces my favorite question we've ever been asking. Travis wants to know, who's the worst mascot on the schedule?
What's Eastern Michigan's? I don't even know.
They're the Eagles. They have Swoop. Because
are we saying what they're called
Tennessee
or their
Martin
actual
Hawks,
physical
right?
mascot that goes to the games?
Firehawks?
Skyhawks.
Skyhawks.
I'm thinking
I want to punch Smokey in the face if we're talking about actual mascots.
Jeez. This is a pro-dogs podcast,
that.
Drew.
I'm pro-dogs. I'm anti-Tennessee.
I feel that. I got some hate for Tennessee. I don't even know where it came from. I just
– You don't know where it came
deep
from?
Deep inside me.
And a volunteer is objectively a stupid, like
– Yes.
Like – good for you. You want to volunteer, like, but that's not a mascot. And they've got to do no, that's West Virginia who has the guy with the coonskin cap.
Yeah.
The rest are pretty normal, and we're used to them.
Commodores.
We have a Razorback this year.
The Rockets kind of weird.
Yeah.
But we're talking trash to Toledo until that game's over.
Yeah. That worries. And it's Vince. Big Dog went to Toledo, so, you know.
We're coming out. We're gonna cover that spread. We're winning by 25.
Oh, Chuck already shooting a shot.
Yep.
Master predictor on last year's podcast. Closest to.
I was the closest.
Yeah, I was the closest. Predicted a 13-0, or 14-0. Said we just got 10-0. Or 10-3. Close enough. Just a little off. But we won't penalize you for that.
Thank you.
The question that I'm anxious to go through each coach and really break this down in the nitty-gritty. And this comes from Jared Hatfield. Said, playing off the Reds melee last night, what would our record be if it was a fight between the head coaches?
I'm taking Stoops in a lot of these.
I thought about this already, and I couldn't think of many I would put up against Stoops from Youngstown.
So I went through some of the lesser-known coaches, and
Derek Mason's pretty big.
They're pretty beatable.
Soft.
So the guy at UT Martin, just Google Jason Simpson and just look at his face.
Okay.
It's a very hilarious face. And imagining, like I think Stoops would just, like, give his Stoops laugh whenever that guy would, like, try to fight him. It's really comical.
This brought up O.J. Simpson's son.
Yeah, that's what I got, too.
Yeah. You might need to put UT Martin in
the dinner. I don't think I'd
fight him. the other guys, Toledo's Jason Candle. He was a former wide
Jason
receiver.
Jason Simpson.
Yeah.
He'd get whooped.
Yeah, he stands no chance.
Yeah.
Jason Candle at Toledo, he was a former wide receiver. Nope, doesn't stand a chance.
Smile.
Yeah, that smile. It's a kind of a Mitch Barnhart look where he just, like, can't take a good picture, you know?
Can Dan Mullen fight?
No,
I wouldn't think so.
Dan Mullen's a nerd.
He walks like
Muschamp this. Muschamp can't fight.
See, here's where I'm tough
he
on most of them.
Like,
yeah,
hair and stuff.
That's where, like, you can't fight crazy. Like, or you shouldn't. And that's where Muschamp would worry me. That's probably the only time I'd ever be worried about Muschamp, frankly.
I think they'd be good if Stoops kept it on the feet. I don't know about his ground game, but you know, if it's just classic boxing, I take my boy Stoopsy.
Stoops over Muschamp, okay.
And being from Youngstown, I feel like Stoops would show up with, like, a crowbar in his hand.
Or, you know,
and then, like, this isn't allowed. He's like, I'm from Youngstown.
A chain.
It's just a chain around his neck.
His brass knuckles.
Like shirt on or off.
No, not like a neck chain.
Yeah,
like deadbolt.
Like a chain.
Yeah.
Which, before you all were at UK, they did a photo for the posters, everybody's shirts off with chains
around
them.
Yeah, I think that was early enrollee. I think you might have been there.
No,
because I feel like
enroll.
Drew or Timmons is, or AJ.
Ooh, Timmons had it. I think
AJ was in the very front, like, with chains over. I'm going, what the heck?
Yeah, I think I remember that. We were big on marketing back then.
Yeah, Harry Potter and chains.
How about Timmons beating the freeze?
Wearing jorts.
Wait, what happened?
Yeah, so you know the freeze that runs at Atlanta Braves games?
Yeah, I do know what you're talking about.
He beat him.
No, he didn't.
He never gets beat. Timmons beat him.
Yeah.
Do you think that they knew that he was a X-Division athlete?
I don't think so.
One of the fastest ones?
He doesn't have the look.
Yeah, he doesn't look like
he
almost looks like he's heavy, but he's not.
I still never got. I always told this for Ryan's face. I just would say, I don't know how you're so fast. Because you don't look like you are at all.
No.
He looks like he'd be slow.
Did he win anything? Like, what happened?
I think everybody was just in shock.
Does he take the freeze outfit from now on? And
he becomes the freeze,
job?
Like Santa Claus.
Seems like it, you know. If he beat him, then.
I know that he was like track star in high school and stuff, too.
Yeah. Oh, my. He was sick.
Crazy
I think
athlete.
He won the 100 or barely lost to James Quick by like 0.01 or something like that. Something crazy. I think he won. I don't know.
Ron Timmons.
Do you think we can move this equipment into the bowling alley?
So what I figured out, Drew, is that we can take the recorder in and just, like, pass around like a microphone.
Because our practice started 2 minutes ago, and, you know, we got to get loose.
Ooh, that's true.
We're bowling left-handed tonight.
Ooh.
And we don't want to cut the podcast short, but I just noticed what time it was.
That's true.
So the volume might go up in a minute.
Okay, so a few other people that – are we worried about Barry Odom at all and his raspy voice?
Barry Odom's the one that I'm not sure about.
Because he's, like, kind of the same build as Stoops.
Yeah.
They've got the same haircut.
Is he from Youngstown?
Stoops has that head movement, though.
Bob Weave.
Yeah.
Barry
yeah.
Odom, he's a long-time Mizzou guy. Is that where he's from? I'll look it up real quick. I know he played there.
Derek Mason, though. Derek Mason's ripped. Is he?
I think he's from Stanford.
Stanford and Vanderbilt.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, he's a nerd, too.
I'd whoop Derek Mason.
Shots fired.
I'm going to add him.
I'll tell him at the press conference after the game. Barry Odom is from Oklahoma, so I don't know. Matt has some Oklahoma strength. That might be your championship fight.
Is Mason versus Stoops?
Yeah.
I feel like people eat this up. I feel like we talk about the coaches fighting like this is like our third or fourth time.
I'm pretty sure you're correct. Well, so I guess we are going to go bowl.
Yeah, we need to because it one, we got to practice. I got to get this.
Is that like
cannon.
One game? How many games do we have to
three.
Play?
Three.
Oh, yeah. Three? All oh, right. Geez. I'm going to get arthritis after this.
Beers we have to drink.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to
pause. Intermission.
Yeah, we're going to have some. We're going to be updating throughout.
There's a table out there. We can just put it at the table and keep going. Just
I'll tell you what. The equipment looks like a bowling alley, so it fit right in out there.
Let's do it.
We are back at KS Bowling League. Is that the right nomenclature, Drew Franklin?
I think it is. A little louder in here than it was the first part of this podcast. But, you know, athletes got to be athletes, and we had a game time to make.
We are some athletes because after one game, we are absolutely crushing the competition. Drew, what's the score say right now? Is that a big 800 to nothing?
Well, no, we bowled a 507.
Wait, 507?
Yeah.
You're
looking at the wrong number.
Oh.
Can you turn my headphones up? I can barely hear you.
Yeah.
How does that work?
I don't know.
Oh, there we go. Perfect.
There we go, yeah.
Yeah, do you all want me to read our scores? We're going to leave it.
I'm really bad.
Well,
here, we'll let our listeners follow along with the progress.
What's 300 minus 5?
295.
That's what I got.
287.
That's what I got.
Well, so everyone knows we have to bowl three games tonight. We just bowled our first one. But it's very important to note that our opponent, all four of them, are a bunch of cowards.
Wow.
Because our opponent did not show tonight.
Scared.
Justin, Gary, Marty, and Michael, you're cowards. Because tonight I brought in the KSR football podcast for bowling, and you did not show. Unbelievable. Hold this L.
I mean, I'm not surprised because when you have amazing athletes like Nick Roush in the building, you get terrified. Now, maybe, okay, you just see a kicker walking up. Maybe not so scared. Mm-hmm. But these folks were obviously cowardly and way too intimidated.
Their team name is My Pen Won't Fit. you got to show up for your pen to fit, Justin, Gary, Marty, and Michael.
It definitely doesn't fit here, okay?
Yeah.
We know that.
Yeah.
Back to football.
Back to football.
Where were we?
Well, I just would like to say that for all the NFL teams out there who want to know if Austin McGinnis still has it, I already saw tonight, when there are two uprights there, he's going to kick it or put the ball straight through the middle.
Had a nice 7-10 split.
And, man, it was
split
beautiful.
It.
I mean, right down the middle. Like, I don't think there's any other direction. Is it just innately in you where you just have to go directly
in
the center?
I've always been drawn to linear things and, you know, just straight lines and objects.
Yeah.
So I think it's fair to say it's just in my blood.
It's
very impressive how you missed both the pins and put it right down the middle.
Yeah, see, for a second there, you know, flashbacks. It's like PTSD, you know. I saw open hole and then I saw objects, so of course I had to go right in between them.
Well, I'm just glad that we were able to podcast from the middle of the bowling alley because Collins Bowling Alley, fantastic right here on Southland Drive.
Here's the thing. The people in here have been great. Fantastic atmosphere.
They Absolutely. Brought out like three people to hook this equipment up. There's like cords duct taped to the ground.
Oh, it's quite a setup just so we could bring you the best football knowledge from an immaculate bowling alley right here in Lexington, Kentucky, where in I think we've only got to wait, what, three short more weeks until football season? Training camp starts this weekend. Austin, you're a kicker, so like were you excited to get back in the swing of things for football camp?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think everyone's excited about a new season. It's a new challenge, a new chapter. You have new teammates. So basically every year you have to just rewrite your storybook. And so the guys are about to come together for camp and spend all day and really form a bond. And that's what's going to show how they're going to do in this season is how they come together over this training camp time. So I think it's an exciting time of year.
So what – their training camp's got to kind of have its drawbacks though, Chuck, right? Like where you're just like – you get to a point where you're just like, come on, guys, really? Like,
it really sucks, but it's really awesome, but it really sucks, but it is really awesome.
Okay.
That's how I would describe it, really.
All right, what's an awesome, like, your awesome part of training camp?
The beginning's obviously great, especially, I'm going to use the term veteran, but I mean upperclassman, I guess is the correct term.
Right.
Upperclassman, you know, you haven't seen your teammates that you've been bonding with over, what, the first month or so, because you get to go home for summer. So it's really cool getting back and getting with those guys. And then it's great. The first day of pads is always awesome because you haven't hit. That's great.
Does Stoops have like a, first day back, we're doing this drill, and there's going to be some head busting?
Yeah, they usually do it before practice, and it's just not Oklahoma. There's not a runner, but he'll get either an O-lineman and a D-lineman to do a one-on-one, and it's like strictly blocking. Then we'll do a DB and a receiver one-on-one just to get it all fired. And usually it's supposed to be the leader of the room versus the leader of the other room.
A lot of trash talking on each side.
Oh, God,
I'm sure.
Yeah.
And I saw Benny doing that drill with the Steelers, and he put some veteran on his ass.
Yeah. That's a good sign.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the veteran tried to act like he won, too. And Big Ben had Benny's back.
Yeah, didn't Big Ben said something. But
so,
yeah.
That's all I need, Benny.
Yeah,
that's all the time I need. Which, Ben's got to stick together.
I know you all don't get much free time during camp, but just us talking, you can tell on yourself. Do you get away at all? Do you like well, I'll have one night out and I'll just deal with it, or?
It's strictly no going out.
Yeah, I don't mean like you're out at the bar ripping shots, but I mean like do you get any?
Yeah, so you usually after the Saturday scrimmage, as long as you perform well, then he gives you the day off and then you report Sunday at 7 a.m. for breakfast, whatever it is. What was it, our junior year when we had the Saturday scrimmage and everyone kind of came out a little lackadaisical and Stoops ended it short. So everyone's like, all right, he's pissed, but we're just going to have to come back tomorrow and he'll be even madder. That's fine. He said, no, shoulder pads on. Practice starts at 9 p.m.
Yes.
So we had to come back.
Oh, man.
So I kind of had the day off. We're probably done at like 2. So normal schedule, you watch film, go home, you're off. We had to come back, and we like literally started practice under the lights at 9 o'clock or something.
That was epic, and they only turned like a couple of lights on.
Yeah.
So like the whole place wasn't lit up. It was kind of dark, and it was
that was an old nighter. So it must have been before our sophomore year.
That was part of the building process. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like that was laying foundation.
Remember, there was a hashtag. Remember the 22nd is what it was.
Yeah.
I think I remember. I remember something about the practice under the lights, though, because there was only, like, one field lit up and the rest was completely dark.
It was just straight, like, backyard football. When else do you practice as starting
You couldn't
nine.
See a ball.
Yeah, you really couldn't see.
Like, on passing
people
plays.
People are juking.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that, like, people were just flying around because, like, it was like a, oh, God, if we don't get our stuff together, Stoops is going to do this again.
Stretches were kind of like, oh, God, we're practicing again. And then once – you know, you kind of realize what you were doing. And like you said, no other field lights were on, just the field we were on. Kind of was pretty badass.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Two running backs got in a fight after that practice.
Yeah.
Ooh, was it like a knockdown drag them out?
Pretty much. And
yeah, it was some
Stoops let it go.
For
a little bit.
I think I remember who it was, too.
It was
one of those days, though, like a long day, long practice.
I bet there's certain aspect, too, of camp where, like, you just get so sick of being around each other that you're just going to, like this stuff's going to happen.
And like, you get sick of going against the same person day, all day long.
Let me ask you, Chuck, were you excited for the scrimmages, like, during camp? Because I know some guys, like, don't even scrimmage or do those before season, but.
It's really exciting, really, to, like, the way they split it up, the special teams to begin with, then overs D, 1v1. You do that for a couple drives, then the twos go in.
Right.
The threes don't really get into the second half. So if the ones and the twos play well, really if the ones play well, they know that once the special team's over, they probably have one more drive and then you're done. And that's kind of like all you need, you know. You get jacked up. You don't get tired, but you're like in that game set.
It's the game speed, game feeling.
Yeah, game speed. You're in the full stadium. Tackle in the stadium.
Right.
1v1.
There's down markers, referees. It's got the setting of it.
And then near the end of it, like the last scrimmage, you're kind of going, all right, give me my four drives, and I want to get out of here. I want to leave camp healthy and get ready to rock against somebody else.
Did Stoops – because I feel like there's always a scrimmage a year where he just, like, it's not good enough for him, and he comes off mad. But, like, is some of that him just, like, blowing smoke to try to keep people in there – you know,
I think every coach does that.
Yeah.
And also at the same time, he's the head coach, yes, but he's a defensive guy, so when the offense plays really well, he's like, we didn't play that well today, and we're going, what? We scored on all of our drives.
Right.
But
Exactly. But it's that was like after the spring game. Stoops said it was the sloppiest he's seen. And it's like, yeah, but the offense scored like 1,000 points. It's because the defense.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Drew, when you look ahead to, like you're just diving in headfirst to media day. What gets you
Which
most
is what I'll be doing.
Yes.
I'll be there. I'll be the first one there.
Oh.
I don't think you will, though. I think I'm going to be the first one there.
Game on.
All right. Well.
I'm camping out. So.
I'm doing a radio show like 8 a.m. there.
Oh,
so.
I'll be there by 8 a.m.
Oh, okay.
Easily.
See you at 7:30.
Yeah.
Also, they said we're having a white breakfast. What do you think the media
version of they sent the menu. They've never done it before.
They sent the menu?
Yeah, it looked pretty dang good.
I might have to come
was
to
it
this.
Chicken parm?
No, it was like barbecue or buffalo chicken.
It was like biscuits and gravy.
You came for the buffalo chicken last year. And man, that
There we go. Biscuits and gravy, scrambled eggs, breakfast potatoes, sausage patties, fruit salad, muffins, and much-needed coffee.
Man, they sent a – that's incredible.
I know. Well, when you win 10 games and win the Citrus Bowl, you got to act like a real program. Yeah. And that starts with sending the menu to the media on Media Day.
Oh, man, that's incredible. I'm excited.
I love Media Day. And, I mean –
it's literally a day for you. That's why you love it.
Well, no, not even the media part. I like it as a fan because – you kind of see the new guys for the first time in uniform. So I'm walking around giddy like, oh, wow, that guy's big. Oh, look at him.
Oh, there's going to be at least three, like, holy shit, moments where you're just like, I can't believe that dude is that big now.
And it's always where I learn what players I like with their personality. Like Juice Johnson, his freshman sophomore year, he and I were just cutting up. I was supposed to be working, and I'm over goofing off with him. And then I just kind of – I'm not going to act like we're boys, but, you know, we kind of –
Yeah,
know,
right? Juice is a cool guy.
That's also a good thing about KSR Media Days is that, like, so much happens that, like, you know, after, like, I do, like, three or four interviews, there's still, like, 30 minutes left, and I'm like, I've got plenty. I can just go hang out. Like, I talked to Abue about, like, Nigerian food, like, one year. Like, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, you get a meet
up. About so a many players. Yeah. A lot of them, this will be the only time we talk to them all year.
True.
Especially the young guys. So not just on the work aspect. It's cool to just meet players.
Do you guys not get to talk to freshmen still? Is that still a thing?
That's still a thing where we can't talk to freshmen until after they play. Yeah. So this will be the only time we'll get to talk to Jared Casey, J.J. Weaver, M.J. Devonshire, Moses Douglas, even the guys who were here in the spring that we could interview that time. It's the only time we get a crack at him. So that's when we got to make the most out of those moments. Those talking to Xavier Peters, who I'm like, he's another where it just feels like he's kind of a mystery, you know. I'm anxious I keep going back to your guys, Chuck, the freshman receivers.
Yep.
Because I know that they probably won't get a crack at it this year because it's kind of – I mean, like, unless you're Lynn Bowden, freshman, there's so many receivers. It takes a while to kind of crack that rotation.
Yeah.
But if people aren't up to their snuff, like, Tay-Tay Crooms is a dude that they recruited, like Isaiah Epps, to just go long. And DeMarcus Harris is a guy who was the leading receiver in the largest class in Florida football last year, which, like
– say that's a good addition.
Yeah. So, this recruiting class this year has the guy – so, largest class in Florida was leading him in the receiver, and that's DeMarcus Harris. And then in the state of Georgia, in the largest class of football, the state's leading rusher in Travis Tisdale, who had – in their big rival game where it's like, all right, time to – big-time players make big-time plays, big-time games. 439 yards, 6 touchdowns.
God. Yeah. All-purpose or rushing or
rushing.
What? Jesus.
Yeah. Like, an absolute beast. So, like, and he's one of those guys who I think he could be, like, I think he has, like, a Benny-ish between the ears. That's why, like Drew said, I'm interested to meet those guys to kind of see where their head is. Because early on, I remember one of my first media days, it was, like, Blake Bone and Dorian Baker. When they were, like, goofing around and, you know, just being Blake Bone and Dorian Baker as 18-year-olds. And I was like, man, these guys do not look like the receivers we used to recruit. You know, these guys looked the part. What I've learned in doing this for 5-6 years is that, like, between the years, that's where a lot of the making or breaking happens. And even though it's just an interview, I think that's where you get to learn a lot about guys. And it, just from hearing from when – I mean – Drew, you remember hearing from Lynn Bowden, freshman Lynn Bowden versus junior Lynn Bowden. It's night and day.
Yeah, you don't want to be critical of an 18-year-old and how they conduct themselves in interviews and how they talk. But now that he's turned it completely around, I mean, like I said, it's a different person in just 3 years.
He had the highest GPA in his life this spring. And then Grant said today in his summer classes he got an A and a B. So it's like when you're taking stuff – it was an LT thing that he used to say a lot. But it was like if you take care of your stuff off the field, you'll take care of it on the field. And it's so boring. Like it's not good fodder for us, but it's still like it's true.
Yeah.
It's completely true. So I'm excited. Like Logan Stenberg, that's why – like I've had some interviews with him before where he was, you know, kind of clowning around. But at media days, it's like, man, this guy's got his stuff together. Like – he is that left side of the line this year.
They're going to be crazy.
Like, third and two, just run left. Just go left.
Just give the ball to Stenberg. Let him run left at the fridge.
Ooh. Who would be – like, I know – who is the athletic offensive lineman that could be that fridge-type player?
See, with that, you want, like, a Drake Jackson body.
Right.
You want a D lineman if you're going to give him the ball, I feel like, for what we got right now.
Imagine, we just have so much size.
Imagine yeah. Bully, Marquand McCall, just because he looks like a bowling ball at a bowling alley. I mean.
I think he's going to pop off.
And this year, too, so what they've done, they put a Bully at nose. So where if Bully doesn't get his stuff together, then they'll play a Bully.
Yeah.
So. Obviously, Marquand, I mean, dude is four-star, one of the most talented. But, like, he gets his stuff together, he's going to be a stud.
Yeah.
And if Bohanna stays healthy,
God,
he's enormous.
He's huge.
I mean, we finally have a D-line now. Like, I've always thought to compete in the SEC, you have to have a D-line. And when I first got to Kentucky, that was not something we had. And you look at any team that's playing for SEC titles, and they all are deep on the D-line. Like, that's what the SEC is known for, and we finally – are getting to the point where we got too deep for all D-line and linebackers.
I recently went back and looked at the D-line just a little bit before Stoops got here. And no offense to those guys because, you know, whatever, but they did not look like they had any business being the SEC. And I think being a big fan, I convinced myself. I'm not going to call anyone out by name. But I'm like, oh, player X, this is his year. And then I'm looking back at pictures like that guy never stood a chance against the – Georges and the Tennessees of the world.
Well, like, even our boy Poop, C.J. Johnson doesn't look like SEC defensive lineman.
But he could play.
He was awesome. He had, I mean.
Oh, he's still playing.
Talk about loving Media Day because getting to know people. Poop was born a Media Day.
He was. Oh, man. He, still markets himself. Like, I saw, like, a late-night show talking about him playing for the Argonauts, talking about Poop Johnson.
Yeah, no, he was on Jimmy Kimmel.
Jimmy Kimmel, yeah.
He got
it's
dude,
crazy.
Dude Wipes gave him like a sponsorship.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, which I'm sure it was just a bunch of free Dude Wipes, but still, like.
Hey, Dude Wipes are good.
If your name's Poop, you need Dude Wipes. So, I mean, come on.
I think Dude Wipes clogged my toilet in Lexington 1 year. I swear to God.
I only used them for Talladega bachelor party 3 days. They worked for that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm sure there weren't showers.
If I say I worked, we smelled awful for a month. But
oh, man. NFL training camps are going on right now. I think it is kind of crazy how, like Mike Edwards on the second day of training camp has a pick six and another interception. I think
and an amazing celebration.
Yeah.
Did you see they did a roller coaster. They all set in a line and started, like, moving together.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But, like,
they're talking about him, like, already being an impact and starting. And
I was – and he was one, too, that, like Mike made plays, but he's a little guy. So, like, I just worried about him, like, from size point, like – but if you're making plays, dude, hell yeah. Go
Tyrann
Bucks.
Matthew, who he – I guess he doesn't
– idolize
call
him.
Himself. Yeah, I don't think he did, though, because of the Honey Badger. I swear.
I think he did. Yo.
No, I'm pretty sure in high school there was an interview where he said he looked up to him or something.
No.
He plays just like him.
Yeah.
And the real Honey Badger hadn't had a great couple of years. He might just take over for what he was doing.
That was also a revelation, too. Todd Bowles is his D.C., like, maybe bad head coach, good DC.
I have an NFL question. The night before, I know we don't mention basketball here, but it's necessary. UK plays Michigan State in the Garden.
Yep.
I'm going. The night before, the Cowboys play the Giants on Monday Night Football.
If you.
I'm going.
Okay, yeah. You
do I rock
to.
Jared? Do I rock CJ? Or do I rock Randall Cobb?
Or George.
Or George.
Or George, excuse me.
Or Westry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm probably – I like Chris Westry. Probably not going to wear a Chris Westry jersey.
You should do the old half jerseys. You should have, like, 1/6 of
each person.
I thought
it would be weird if I sewed together a C.J. Conrad, Randall Cobb jersey. People are like, what is wrong with this person?
Well, they're on different levels. Like.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure –
big UK fan.
Jared shamed you the last time you were up there and didn't go in a Jared jersey.
I think he'd wear the jersey.
I think
you
gotta.
Well, he gave me a Giants jersey, and like an idiot, I gave it back.
Oh.
Wish I had kept that.
Nice guys don't get very far.
I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, I'll rock the Jared.
Yeah, definitely. And if not, I think you go CJ because.
I think you go Josh Harrelson like this guy.
You got to remember, my girlfriend is a huge Cowboys fan.
Yeah, no.
So
but
wearing the Giants gear is already going to cause a fight on vacation.
So you need to wear the Giants.
Your undershirt is a Randall Cobb jersey.
There we go.
T-shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
And or if they're listening, the first one to send me tickets, I'll wear
yes.
their jersey.
Yeah.
I bet CJ would. CJ's too nice. Hey, so here's my question too. Have you all tried to do the cashing in on tickets yet? Have you all?
I think that they still have to pay for them.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
I think Jared said that on the podcast one time. He's like, everybody hit me up, and I was still paying out of pocket.
Yeah, they pay some
amount of money, but it's like a little lower than face value. But still,
well, I guess
cash.
I'm not gonna be hitting them up for tickets.
Like Josh Allen, you could probably hit up. I wouldn't hit up Westry or one of the guys trying to make it.
Yeah, and Josh is going to be playing in Indy and Nashville, and I really want to hit up one of those.
We can carpool.
Yeah.
Let's do the Nashville one.
Ooh, yeah, make a weekend out of it. Ooh, maybe it's a bye week.
Oh, God, that would be perfect.
That would be too perfect, in fact.
As I pull up the schedule.
Yeah, pull up that schedule while we think
about
it.
What if it just happened to be – we play at Vandy, right?
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, snap.
I'm pretty sure I already looked that weekend up, though, and they don't – that's an away game because I already had that thought.
Man, I of all of the jerseys to get, though, what is the best jersey you could get from the collection of NFL talent right now?
As in
Tom
who we played
Brady.
With or
just NFL NFL UK guys, what is the coolest looking jersey you could get? I think I know the answer, but I'm gonna see if y'all come up with a different one first.
While you're thinking, we play Tennessee Martin the day before Josh Allen goes to Nashville. That'll be a nooner. We're in the car by 6.
Oh, boom.
Night out. KSR Football Podcast road trip.
There What's you go.
It? Do we still got the apartment
we have a Winnebago?
Down there too?
Huh?
Is the apartment still down there?
No, but I have other means.
Okay.
I have better. I have a house now. Well, I don't have a house. Anyway.
Yes.
We'll get back to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. KSR Football Podcast road trip.
It's needed.
Well, there we go.
Everything comes by KSR, right?
Yeah.
expense account.
I'm not covering your tab at Tootsie's, but we'll get tickets.
Ooh, we can do the podcast from the tailgate lot beforhand. Or maybe
we'll get on the field and do the podcast.
Oh,
Josh is a special guest.
Ooh, that'd be great.
Wesley Woodyard.
Oh,
hey,
perfect.
We know you're playing, but come do our podcast, actually.
It's more important.
Yeah.
I do think that the best jersey is the teal Josh Allen 41. Or I think that's the best you can get right now.
What about the camo Mike Edwards, Tampa Bay? It's
they have
pretty
camo
sick.
Jerseys?
Yeah.
I can't.
They have like a military theme. It's pretty good looking.
Huh. I'm not in on the Tampa jerseys. It just feels too like
I'm not in on
create a player XFL. Yeah. Like
I can't do Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I think the coolest jerseys in the NFL are the Titans. When they
Thank
go
you.
The all whites.
I've got the
baby blue. Woo!
I've got a blue Woodyard. I really wanted to get a orange Broncos Trevathan.
Yeah.
But he's since moved on. He's a Bear now. I have no allegiances at all. So.
Yeah, I got to pick my team this year, and
Titans.
It's going to be one of these
Browns.
Go
Browns
Titans.
Here.
Titans
Browns.
Also
I'm not
have
on the
bandwagon. Frankfurt native Logan Woodside. They kept him as a backup quarterback.
They kept him. Well, they're going to need him.
He even went down to your league, Austin, the AAF. And
he was
they,
good.
Wait, what team's he with?
The Titans.
Oh.
He was good on that San Antonio team.
Yeah.
Like, that was one of their – which about, so do you have a good Alliance story to share on the podcast? Anything fun, or is it all just
maybe later. You know, we're not at a bowling alley.
And they probably still owe you money.
So you they're all paid up.
Oh, nice.
But
nice.
They wouldn't let us get our jerseys or helmets. Like, we knew it was done, and the equipment guy already had it all locked up, and he was being a lame. Like,
did you say I'm the all-time leading kicker in the league?
Yeah, and I'm like, at least give me, like, Johnny's jersey, you know what I'm saying? Like, give me something.
Did you ever – wait, Johnny was cleaned up by the time you got to know him, right? He wasn't so like
Johnny's always been clean. What are you talking about?
We're talking about Johnny Manziel.
Great looking guy. he was good. He's Johnny. I mean, he's the money man. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I know it's Memphis, but still a night out of the town with Johnny football would be.
I'm going to be honest. I did not step foot out in Memphis. I was there on a business trip. Our drive to the stadium was always eventful. Always people in the road, always, because you're just in downtown Memphis, and apparently no one works there. Like, there's always people out.
Bill Street is fun.
Yeah, so. That's no, but I got a special place in my heart for Memphis now, though. So ooh. Shout out Memphis, shout out Germantown.
You were walking in Memphis.
Oh, my God, this guy.
No, that's like my buddy got married 2 weeks ago.
And that song was playing or something?
Well, that's his, like, karaoke song. And he did a performance on stage that was just.
Tearjerker.
Oh, man, incredible.
I don't want to overlook something important he just said. To all NFL personnel listening, Austin said he didn't go out, didn't leave his hotel room. It was a business trip.
Yes.
Just something else to put on that scouting report.
Good locker room, guys.
All business McGinnis.
Yeah. Oh, that even rhymes. You need to get that on your business card. All business McGinnis.
I like that.
Yeah. Way better than the guy from CBI.
No unnecessary shots needed.
Oh, man. Well, this has been fun, guys.
Yeah.
We're in somewhere different. It feels weird that we don't have a bunch of people staring at us wondering why we're talking during their meal.
You know what feels weird to me is that I didn't have any brisket. I didn't have any of the mac and cheese.
Cornbread.
We'll get back to the bar from here on out. It was just I'm committed to this bowling league. It's a very big deal.
I'm glad we came.
Yeah. Something new, something different. We're going to be – I know we'll definitely do one game week. We'll probably do one, maybe two more before that. I know Drew's going on tour. There's a lot of moving pieces during training. It's training camp for us as well. So please deal with us.
I will not be training at all. I will not be doing that.
Not at all.
No training.
Well, but we've got to work. We've got to get through our. It's practice time for us as well. So we're going to be working through some hiccups, but we will provide plenty of content here on the KSR Football Podcast. I'm also doing a weekly podcast with Adam Luckett, 11 Personnel. Subscribe to that.
I'm excited about that.
We just get to football nerd out for a while.
How about Media Day Friday? Why don't we do what we did last year where we recapped it on Facebook Live, even though it was a disaster?
And we just changed the angles all the time.
What time should we tell people? What is that, probably 3, 2? I don't know.
No, that was like noon.
Noon?
Noonish, because they quit interviews around noon.
Oh, okay. I'm way off.
If the office is finished painting, we can do it in the office, KS office.
All right. Perfect.
Yeah. So, we're a work in progress. We appreciate y'all dealing with us tonight. But we're going to be having plenty of fun all season right here on the KSR Football Podcast. Stay tuned and go Cats.
And peep the technique. Don't sweat the technique.